Good day, everyone. I hope you are well today. Just a reminder for those who are members of Keyser Falls Assembly of God or faithfully attend and call this church their home church, that we are still receiving tithes and offerings via the mail at Keyser Falls Assembly of God, P.O. Box 128, Parsonsfield, Maine 04047. We thank you for your faithfulness and appreciate that during this difficult time you are being faithful in the giving of your tithes and offerings. It is also Mission Sunday, so just a reminder about that. Well, we are in our fourth week on prayer, and we'll begin with Psalm 113, verses 1 to 9, if you'd like to turn there with us. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap, to make them sit with princes of his people. He gives the barren woman a home, makes her joyous, mother of children. Praise the Lord. We are in our fourth and final week talking about prayer. Not that this is to be the be-all, end-all. There is much more we could discuss in the realm of praying. But we have at least established a good starting point. And at some point, we simply need to dive in and begin to engage in prayer to continue to learn more. So we know the foundation of prayer from the past few weeks is the model of the Lord's Prayer. And that prayer often starts with a need, a situation that presses us to go before God and to ask for his help. We discuss that prayer on the most basic level is talking to God, who is your Father. As a good father, you should be able to talk to him about everything. He can handle what you need to say, even in the pain and in the anger and the sorrow of it all, and both give and receive forgiveness, as his will is accepted and done through you. The last thing we're going to deal with is that part of prayer in which we give praise and honor to God, to try to understand why that is a vital, important part of our prayer life. And right up front, I want to tackle the most common misunderstanding on this. A question that pops up every now and again. If God is so great, why does he need me to tell him that over and over again? It's an interesting but flawed question. The sentiment of God needing something or anything is incorrect. We must be mindful when we assign need to God, for God needs nothing. He may have a desire of something, but he is complete in and of himself. He needs nothing. Yet the question as to why we are instructed to praise God remains. This tracks with an event happening today. If you are listening the day this is put out, I hope you know that it is Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to all the moms listening. Moms with kids and moms with kids on the way. Moms who may not even have biological children, but have kids who love them. A very happy Mother's Day to you. And I know it is a different sort of Mother's Day. But on a typical Mother's Day, what do we as sons and daughters of mothers do? Well, we wish our moms a good day. We call them, tell them we love them, tell them how great they are. We thank our mothers. We more or less praise our mothers on this day, don't we? We do. But why? Do they need praise? Do they need to be honored? When we get our mothers a gift, is that gift necessary? Does my wife need the frame and the picture my kids typically get for her? Does your mom need the gift that you got for her last time? No. This day of honoring mothers has nothing to do with need. It has everything to do with what is and what is not a right relationship and a real and pure mindset that we have toward our mothers. And so praising our mothers is as much about adjusting our attitude and our will to goodness and to thanks towards them, which is both right and healthy. It's as much about our reordering of feeling and attitude as it is about your mom to receive her due honor, not out of obligation, but because we should genuinely love and cherish our mothers, the culmination of which is not simply a day, but to act on that truth in acknowledgement, sharing that right relationship and due honor. So we understand it is not about their need or really even the expense we paid on the gift or about the gift itself. What's going on? Why is this important? Because it's about the purposeful, honest, and profound recognition of how good mom is to you and I, which is a conduit to right relationship with them. Now, you know that I stopped talking just about mom a little while ago. You know that I'm not just talking about mom. I'm also talking about God our Father. The first line of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 reads, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed." Now that's an odd word, isn't it? Hallowed. It means honored. An old word, it just means honored. Be your name. Jesus gives us in his model on prayer, first the who we are to pray to, our Heavenly Father. And before he states anything else, Jesus instructs us to give our Father honor and praise, hallowed, honored be your name. In the epistles or the letters at the end of your Bible, the authors open them by giving honor and praise to God. And as we read this morning, the Old Testament is filled with praise and honor to God in songs and in prayers. And the main reason should be obvious. It is God's rightful due, and his alone. God is the creator and the sustainer of all. He is Jesus in the sacrifice for our sin. And he has personally done much more for us individually, which we may or may not be aware of. So as owner, as creator, and as redeemer of creation, we can say with confidence, if anything or anyone deserves honor, it is God. And so we ought to praise him, whether he has asked for it or not, and give him honor with thanksgiving for his goodness, forgiveness, and outcomes of his work. We therefore believe he deserves glory and praise, and is the only one we should direct our prayers to, since he is the only one who gives us grace. Grace meaning undeserved favor, undeserved love, undeserved mercy. And here we have to deal with another misunderstanding around this area of praise and prayer. That if all proper praise, honor, and prayer is due to God, we must be careful we don't fall into the trap of seeking grace in prayer from others in place of our relationship with and through Jesus Christ. Many of us have asked, and we can ask, for other Christians to pray with us to the Lord for his grace and his help. However, we should not give others or place in others the inappropriate honor of praying in our place, as if they had more grace or a better connection to God than us. Some Christian groups overtly pray or venerate or give undue reverence to the quote-unquote saints. Usually those are dead Christians that have become quite famous. As a conduit to God and or to gain from these quote-unquote saints their own supposed grace, and thus seek from them something only rightly given through Jesus. Now, you may not do that exactly. Probably most of us don't, but we have a tendency, if we are not careful, to see those who are leading us, who inspire us, as having a better connection to God, and therefore think, if they pray for me in my place, because of their excess goodness or their closeness to God, I'm going to gain a better outcome in my prayers. Well, in their prayers, at least. This is important. No one, living or dead, no person, can impart to anyone else grace or favor. Only Jesus Christ has any grace to give. Now, this is different from praying together, whether in a church community or on what we might call the prayer chain. We are welcome and even instructed to pray together as a community, seeking God's grace as a body, as a family, not in favor of someone else. Together, we are co-laborers in prayer for wisdom and help as we seek not to honor another person, but and not to pray through a leader or saint, but in solidarity to build one another up and pray through our high priest, Christ Jesus, to the Father, seeking the grace of God and honoring him. Do you understand the difference? One looks to a person to get God's attention and extra grace, some sort of extra blessing. The other looks to Christ with others joining them, but still seeking and directing prayer to God. One says, I can't pray and seek God. I'll get others to do it for me. The other biblical model says, I don't want to do this alone, and we will seek God together as a family. Do you see the at least subtle difference? All of this to say, we give God the honor and glory and praise in prayer, because he alone deserves it. The second reason we should give honor and praise to God in prayer goes back to the Mother's Day section from earlier. It is because it should be a natural reaction to God's grace. C.S. Lewis writes, that we praise God because it makes natural sense to give honor when something has positively and profoundly affected us. He writes in the Reflection on the Psalms, I think we delight to praise what we enjoy, because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. It is the appointed consummation. It is not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete till it is expressed. It is frustrating to have discovered a new author and not to be able to tell anyone how good he is, to come suddenly at the turn of a road upon some mountain valley of unexpected grandeur, and then to have to keep silent because the people with you care for it no more than a tin can in a ditch, to hear a good joke and find no one to share it with. The Scotch Catechism says that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. But we shall then know that these are the same thing. Fully to enjoy is to glorify. In commanding us to glorify him, God is inviting us to enjoy him. Psalm 113, 2-3 states, Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. You know, I read this not very long ago, and then I made my way through Psalms 113 all the way through Psalm 118. And after reading those Psalms, you know, I couldn't help but praise the Lord. In 113, for the power of God in the heavens and in our lives to do good. In 114, there was awe over the power of God. In 115, the faithfulness of God. For in 1:16, the grace of God, especially during those times around death. For 1:17 and 18, for the steadfast, unmovable love of God. Gratefulness for what the Lord has done is a key part of our Christian faith. It should be a natural motivation for why we praise Him. So we praise the Lord for He is do it, and we praise because it should be the natural outpouring from our lips when we fully appreciate Him. The third reason is that giving praise is that it changes our outlook on the world to a positive, God-honoring view instead of a self-honoring, often negative view of the understanding of our lives. To praise the Lord influences our being. When we give the proper glory in worship, we begin to fulfill what is called the chief end of man. We were made to worship and enjoy God. God heals and recreates the proper bond between Himself and we who were separated from Him because of sin. When we set our hearts and minds to the correct place of understanding who God is and what He has done for us, praise, it moves from a chore to meaningful enjoyment. It pushes the grand feeling we have about ourselves, our work, our goodness, what we deserve, out. We are left in gratitude, understanding the mercies of God, which truly bring greater joy. The effect is the same as that moment when you discover materialism is unfulfilling, and that is more meaningful to give of oneself than to gain the whole world. Because self-sacrificial love is godly, and wealth has never brought fulfillment. Truly, deeply meaningful praising God in prayer and worship changes us to become the people God wants us to be and better ambassadors to others. It is a means by which the Spirit remakes us into the image of Christ. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, speak on worship and the ideas surrounding it. Paul writes, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Now, there's a lot more here going on than just praising God. But praise and honoring God is one of these opening and chief ingredients to the transformation of a person from who we were to a man or woman of God is making us into. We praise God and need to praise God, not because God needs it, not because His ego needs to be satisfied. We praise God for who He is and what He has done, for redeeming us, for sacrificing Himself in Jesus for us, for creating us and sustaining us, because He is due it, and because it should be a natural reaction once we begin to understand who He is. Like a good book or film, you simply need to let everyone know about, or better yet, the accomplishment of your son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter, or the beauty of your husband or wife. How much more the greatness of God do you want to share with others and proclaim? Finally, there is a refining process from praising God that empties us of our own thoughts, of our own greatness, which was not really there to begin with, now was it? And conforms us to the truth of His greatness and grandeur and majesty and love. It humbles the proud, and it makes the merciless merciful. The Holy Spirit of God uses praise and honor to reshape our ideas of self and remakes our understanding to that of truth. As the elders around the throne sang before the Lord in Revelation 4:11, Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Praise God. I hope you find some time to praise God today. It is meaningful. It is purposeful. It will change you for the better. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us a conduit, a right relationship with you through prayer and through praise and through the mercies of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank you for your redemption through the cross and your resurrection from the grave. We thank you that we can have meaningful life and new life. We can have resurrection and forgiveness of sins, healing and hope through your grace and your grace alone, not through somebody else's abilities or not through somebody else's supposed goodness, but yours alone. Let us be mindful of these things, not believing that you have any sort of need, but by believing that our need is to praise you. So we thank you, Lord, and we praise you once again today for your good. And as you have taught us to pray, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I pray you have a wonderful week. I hope to see you soon.